You're in a good place now. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Live Your True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Today, I'm offering some life-changing techniques, some life hacks to make your life better. You know, I've learned throughout the years, throughout my time on this planet, that there are certain things that I've done in the past that will make my life really hard. And there are certain things that I've done that make my life easier, happier, more joy-filled. And I've realized that when you start looking at those techniques and those things that you do that better your life and they work for you, you want to share them with other people because why? Because you care about other people, you want them to have a good life, you care about their well-being, and I care about my listeners. I care about the tribe. We are all in this together. We're all trying to live our true life to figure out what we need to do next and what can better this situation and what can we do this way or that way and how can we make our life easier. Because we have a lot of responsibilities and day in, day out, there are constant things that we have to do, things that we can't get out of and stuff that we go, oh no, I totally forgot about that. Staying up late into the night trying to finish our work, going to work early, and just feeling as though that to-do list, well, never gets smaller. And so today, I'm not trying to help you with that. I'm trying to make your life easier in certain specific ways that I find that some of these techniques you can use immediately, others you're probably already using, and some you might want to hone in and even better your ability, which will also create more success in your life from now and throughout your life. So the first life hack that I'd like to talk about that I think will connect with you, I know that it's worked wonders in my life, is listening before making any decision or before reacting. I don't know about you, but when I was younger, I feel like I had a lot of anger. I had a lot of anger issues, and there's a lot of reasons for that. You know, but I think a lot of the anger issues, and it made me kind of angry all the time. I finally was on edge, or I made snap decisions, or I jumped to conclusions, or I would jump to defend myself or defend the situation or argue the situation or whatever, argue whoever's arguing with me, and not a lot got done. And it took a while to work on the anger issues, and that's a big thing, is that, you know, when you are carrying around anger issues, it's something you got to work on because it's not just going to go away, okay? There's no fairy godmother that's going to, like, sprinkle fairy dust on you and say, you're no longer angry, you're not mad. No, it doesn't happen, and it appears in different ways. You know, when you do harbor anger, you know, you're quick to argue. You're quick to come to an argumentation to fight. You know, road rage is a big deal. I'm talking about road rage. I remember when I was younger. Whoa, God, I'm not going to get into specifics right now, okay? I'm going to spare everybody listening to the show. But no, I was angry. And when somebody would cut me off, you know, on the highway, yeah, I'd follow them. I'd tailgate right behind them, flashing my brights, trying to swerve around them, trying to, you know, roll down my window and give them a piece of my mind. Yeah, I've done that. Not very smart. But at the time, I was angry, and somebody had disrespected me by pulling out in front of me, you know, almost hit my car, and I'm going to go hunt them down. And I realized that in life, whether it's on the highway and having somebody do some bonehead thing instead of jumping into action, it's to sit back and breathe. Let it go. What good's going to come out of tracking that person down, you know, getting into full-on road rage, you know, getting down the highway to some dark area, getting out of the car, starting a fight, something else could happen, who knows? What's the point of that? And I started realizing that my anger wasn't helping me at all. My anger was actually hurting me because when somebody would say something that I, at the time, didn't want to hear or didn't like or just didn't want to listen to, my first inclination was to get angry or, you know, I don't hear you. And now I've realized that, you know, as I've gotten wiser and I've worked to diminish my anger, it really began with not jumping to conclusions when people were giving advice or commenting. And it began with me just listening and not making a comment, you know, not stopping them dead in their conversation and saying something, but just, you know, taking a moment to listen. Now, listening doesn't mean that you're agreeing. When you listen to somebody, it doesn't mean that you're going, okay, whatever you want, that's okay with me, you got it. No. It doesn't mean that. What it means is that you're listening, you're giving them the opportunity to speak, okay? You're giving them the opportunity to speak. And that goes a long way, because you might not agree with anything they're saying, but you're giving them the opportunity, you're allowing them the floor to talk what they want to say, you're listening to them out, and you would appreciate the same thing vice versa, right? That's, I mean, we would appreciate it the other way around. And then, you know, I advise to literally, you know, take a breath. If you have to, take a little walk. Walk around. If you need to, take a bathroom break. I don't care. Take a break before you get angry and before you go off. And I've realized that sometimes when we listen, we learn things that we never knew. We experience things. We learn things. We're taught something. And sometimes we're not. Sometimes people will tell you stuff that, you know, it's not really worth it, or they're know-it-alls or whatever. But even then, it's nice to not have an argument. It's nice to just calmly say, I really appreciate your perspective, and I'm going to think about it, and thank you. And it's awesome when we respond and listen, because we did the right thing. You don't look back and say, man, I really screwed that up. I could have been nicer. I could have listened. Even though I might not have agreed with it, I could have been a better person when it came to that. And so I've realized that listening and taking that breath before making a big decision and before reacting or before arguing goes a long way, because it usually stops the argument. It usually allows you to think clearly enough to comment, but to also comment specifically in a positive way. And it's gone far for me in my life, and it's really an amazing resource, because the better you listen, I feel the better your life is. Because people want to be heard, and when you hear what they have to say, you understand where they're coming from. There's not a lot of question, because you're listening to what they say. The only reason you wouldn't understand them is if they're lying and not telling you exactly what's really on their mind and sugarcoating it or changing it for whatever reason, or acting differently or trying to wear a mask. But if they're being honest and you're listening, you're able to understand where they're coming from, you're understanding their plight, and you make good decisions, and you can bring the dialogue further, but also you can make deeper friendships, deeper relationships. And that also helps in business as well. You know, the next life hack, the next technique that I'd like to talk about is being aware of our negative patterns and working to break them. And so I think the listening thing was, that was kind of a negative pattern before. I was like, you know, you speak before you listen. You know, some of us call it the diarrhea of the mouth. We just, whatever we think, we say. And a lot of times that doesn't go over very well. And so, obviously, the next life-changing technique would be aware of the negative patterns. We all have some sort of negative patterns in our life, and some of us have worked very hard to rid our life of these negative patterns. Kudos for you. It's a lot of work. I know. I do it all the time. I work on it. And some of the examples of negative patterns in our lives could be, you know, always choosing the wrong person to date. And I know that sounds very broad, but what I'm saying is, you have a friend, or maybe yourself, who the last three people you've dated are pretty much identical as far as certain things about them, certain characteristics. Some of us are constantly dating narcissists, and that was based on a cycle and a pattern that was created by a family member. For example, maybe your dad is a full-on narcissist, and the way, or your mother is a full-on narcissist, and the way that you had to get love and get attention, even though it was unhealthy, you got used to it. And so when you meet you know, somebody to date, you end up falling into that category of finding another narcissist, because you're used to having to jump through the hoops to get love, having to do various things that aren't normal for some people, but for you are normal. And that, to me, is a negative pattern in our life. Okay, it's a negative pattern. And those are the things we have to break. But in order to break those patterns and those cycles, we have to be aware of them. We have to be aware of them, and we have to be able to be self-aware enough to be able to look around us and say, how did this begin? How did I fall into this pattern of going after this particular type of person every time? Every time the relationship ends like XYZ, every time I'm hurt, and I go back out and I find another one of these. And it's based on the way we were raised. It's based on our environment that we are accustomed to. Because no matter how unhealthy a situation is, when we get used to it, we begin to see that as normal, and we begin to replicate that throughout our entire life. Stay tuned. Live Your True Life Perspectives with me, your host, Ashley Burgess. We'll be back in. I'll be back in two shakes.
I'm learning to fly. Turn it up and jump in the deep end on perspectives. Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Live Your True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. On today's show, I'm offering life-changing techniques to make your life easier, better, and more fulfilling. They're life hacks that'll actually, well, you know what? If you put them into practice, you'll see your life changing for the better. Right before the break, I began talking about the second life hack, which is being aware of those negative patterns and working to break them. Yep, I've fallen into this pattern before where I have these negative patterns and I live through them over and over again. I don't understand what's going on. And then I finally have this come to realization and I realize, oh my God, I've done this before over and over and over again. And I understand. And it's interesting when you catch that pattern, and it takes that dedication, it takes that self-care, it takes that self-interest, right? For you to be able to look at yourself and say, you know what, I got some great qualities, I got some stuff I got to work on, so why does this thing in my life keep causing me problems? Why do I seem to not get this one thing right? And maybe that is marriage, relationships, work, whatever it is, certain responsibilities, and you can't seem to get a grasp on it. There's a reason for that. And usually it goes back to, and that's not always, but usually it goes back to our childhood, our upbringing, our environment, our parents, the people that raised us. And, you know, I think for the most part, most people did the best they can, right? The best that they could at the time. However, in extreme, some of us were raised by certain folks or family members or in environments where you were surrounded by unhealthy relationships. And as you grow up through that, you don't know that that's an unhealthy relationship. You just know, okay, well, this is how I have to deal with my mom or my dad or my aunt or whoever's raising me or my sisters or brothers. And you deal with it. And you figure out the best ways to deal with it. And it's a lot of work. But you get used to it. And as you practice and practice and practice throughout your upbringing of how to deal with these people, you don't know that this is unhealthy. And so what happens is you end up gravitating to these types of people later on down the road. You start gravitating to it. And you gravitate to it because it seems normal. You gravitate to it because, well, you know what? You've been around it your whole life. And you don't know that that's unhealthy. And so we create these patterns around that. Maybe you're constantly hanging out with the wrong group of people. Maybe you're constantly dating the wrong types of people, constantly marrying the wrong types of people based on what was normal to you when you were in your formative years of growth. And that's why you continue to choose that pattern. And so the life hack is basically to be aware of those negative patterns, to see it for what it is, and to be able to be self-aware enough, okay, to say, okay, this is where that came from. This is what happened here. This is why I am this way. And now I can turn this around. I'm aware of it. Now I got to work to stop this pattern and to do what's better for me and to choose wisely now and to see myself when I'm going backwards into this pattern because it's comfortable even though it's really uncomfortable, right? Okay, so the third life-changing technique that I want to offer you tonight is to put an end to self-sabotaging behavior, to put an end to self-sabotaging yourself, and to realize the damage that you're doing. You know, oftentimes when we are self-sabotaging ourselves, we're not even aware of it. We're not even aware of it, so we don't even know the damage we're doing. And I'll give you a good example of a very subtle way of self-sabotage. And this is so subtle, it might not even be something that you think about. Okay. So we think a lot of stuff about us, usually based on our self-esteem, how high or how low it is. Most of us don't have that high of a self-esteem. There are certain things that we think we do good and certain things we think we do bad. And sometimes that rattles around in our brain long enough that we begin to believe that we're not good at something, or we're untalented, or we'll never be able to get this done, or something in between. And as we continue to believe that, we end up acting on that, okay? And we act in that in such a way that we don't even catch it because we really forget exactly why we're acting on this. We just do it. So I had a client come into my office, and I think this is a very interesting example, and this is, I think it's a formidable, I think it's a really good example because it makes the point. So we were talking about their job, and they said that there was a position that came open at their company, and they were telling me about it, and I said, that's exactly what you do. That would be a higher paying job, and that's what you wanted to do. That's what you've wanted to do since we started working together. And they were like, yeah, it is. And I said, okay, great. So when did you put in your application? When did you let them know that you want to apply? And I didn't. Oh, why? Why didn't you? Oh, there's no way I'm going to get that job. Oh, yeah, there's so many people that are way more qualified than me. It's not even worth it. I mean, why even bother? Why even bother putting my name in the hat? They're not going to pick me. I'm not going to get the job. And I said, well, you had the chance. You could have at least put your name in the hat, put your resume out there, you know, filled out the app, put the resume and said, hey, you're interested in it. Worst comes to worst, you don't get it, but at least you put it out there. And they were like, yeah, I guess you're right. Well, then a few days later, we find out who gets the position, and it was somebody that they trained. So they could have obviously gotten the position if they would have applied. And that's an interesting deal there, because it was based on the thought process that created self-sabotaging behavior. And a lot of times we make choices, like, for example, you know, some of us don't need to be, you know, we don't need to be drinking a lot. You know, alcohol is not really our best friend, but we have a tendency of drinking and kind of over drinking. And we know in our heart of hearts that we don't need to be. And we know that it gets in the way of our work and, you know, our responsibility. We don't feel good, that kind of sort of thing. But we do it anyway. Maybe we're late to work. We don't get our stuff done. What happens in between there? And that's self-sabotage right there. When you know that you're taking another drink and you're going to have a massive headache and you're going to wake up with a hangover and you do it all the time and it doesn't help you and it makes your work really hard, doing that is a self-sabotaging routine. You're creating a routine that has negative impact on your life. That negative impact, because you're doing it constantly, it's creating that negative impact that makes, it's kind of like an internal question. It's like, well, if you're doing that to me, then I'm probably not that valuable. And I know that's kind of a deep thought, but like inner soul stuff, you know what I mean? Like, you can't really love yourself if you're doing heroin. You know what I mean? I hate to say it. I mean, it's just true. Because you would know you were killing yourself, you know? And you would know that over time, this is doing so much damage to your body, but over time, you may or may not live out of this. And every time you do it, you're killing yourself. And so when we do the self-sabotaging behavior, it doesn't have to be extreme. It can just be, you know, like staying up all night, not getting enough sleep, having too many things going on, not taking care of your body, constantly getting ill, constantly getting sick. You know, that's because you're running hard. You're burning the candle at both ends. You got a lot of stuff going on. Probably need to pull back and realize, hey, I'm causing myself this pain. I'm causing myself to be sick. I don't need to do that. That's not what I want to do. And being aware and realizing this is so valuable, because your life begins to change because all of a sudden you go, well, wait a second, I don't want to do that. I really don't want to do that. I really don't want to have that other drink, and I'm going to feel really bad tomorrow, and I'm not going to make all the right decisions at work. I'm going to feel lesser then. I'm not going to want to speak up because I'm going to be worried about how I sound. All that stuff in between. You see what I'm saying? That you could not deal with if you just stop the self-sabotaging behavior. And I know some of it's harder than other things to quit. You know, addiction is tough. But when we realize that this sabotaging behavior is ruining our life, we've got to figure out something's got to give. Okay? Something's got to give, and our willpower to believe in ourselves, our willpower to push our effort forward has to begin, and we've got to really set our sights and realize, you know what, I can create all this, I can do this, but I can't do this at the same time, and therefore something's got to give, right? So as you begin to take inventory of self-sabotaging behavior, you know, be aware of it. Writing it down in a journal can help. And catching yourself when you're kind of going down that slippery slope and making choices in your life that aren't going to help you. And you got to be aware, because when you're aware of it, you know, hey, I'm going into a situation right now that's going to be very tough for me to not do X, Y, Z. And in those situations, you've got to be cognitive and probably walk out of that situation to get that power within you to check yourself and to stop that self-sabotaging behavior. Because in the end, only you can stop this. Otherwise, what happens is we live with a bunch of regret. Joining me live in studio tonight, Bill and Elizabeth Cooper, Precious Paws Health supplement creator and dog lovers, who are here to offer their unique and honest perspective on how to make sure that our dogs are healthy and happy. Great to have you in studio, Bill. How you doing?
I'm doing good, Ashley. I appreciate you letting us come in. Hey, today I want to talk to you about things you can do for a healthy, longer life for your dog to give them the best life possible. And the first thing is feed them a high-quality diet. That keeps their coat shiny, their skin healthy, their immune system strong, keeps their muscles and joints healthy, and keeps their mental state sharp. Another thing you can do is get a regular checkup at the vet, not just for routine vaccinations. This will get you an early diagnosis for maybe unseen problems and improve their chances for successful treatment. Third thing, keep their mouth clean. Dental issues can cause pain and may lead to heart and kidney disease. Brush their teeth if you can, and if you can't, use some special treats or toys that are designed for that. Get their teeth cleaned. Ask your vet what you can do. Another thing, don't allow them to roam free. Most early dog deaths are from cars. But other dangers they'll get out roaming are fights, predators, poisons, or exposure to contagious disease. Be a dog lover and keep them safely contained. And the last thing is keep them lean. Obese dogs can lose 2 years of their life. It puts them at risk for joint disease, heart disease, and diabetes. Make sure they get a healthy diet and exercise. For more information, go to our website at preciouspawshealth.com and go to the dog tips section.
Great information, Bill. Thank you. Another home run. I recently got the chance to go to Bill and Elizabeth's farm, and I got to meet all of their dogs. You know, they've run a dog rescue for a very long time, and they have rehomed in safe homes well over 500 dogs. They are definitely dog lovers. And when they created Precious Paws, it's an amazing product. It helps dogs with, you know, hip issues, joint issues, and arthritis. And it really does work, because I actually seen it work on their elderly dogs on their farm. And Buddy loves it. Stay tuned, because Live Your True Life Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. Well, you know it. I'll be back this time in two shakes.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Live Your True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Today I'm offering you some life-changing techniques, some life hacks to make your life a little better. Right before the break, I was talking about stopping and ending that self-sabotaging behavior that many of us do that damages us, and oftentimes we don't even realize we're doing it. And sometimes we do. Sometimes it gets really apparent, okay? And at that point in time, we've got to really take a look at things and say, hey, what am I going to do to better my life? Because I know what I'm doing right now is not. I know that it's contributing to the problems of my life. It's contributing to various things that are not positive. They're not helping me. Quite the contrary, they're really hurting me. You know, the next life-changing technique that I think is so important is being aware of our thoughts. Being aware of your thoughts and how your thoughts become actual things in your life, okay? I'm telling you, you can practice this, okay? You can practice it. You got to believe it to achieve it, no matter how negative it is or how positive. But you gotta be aware of your thoughts. The things that we think directly implicate, directly change, directly modify, directly affirm or negate our life. And the more we think about these specific things, the more we think on it, those thoughts actually become real. I know. You can use this power for good or evil. No, I don't know about evil, but you can use this power for building yourself up or your own destruction. I've done both. I know, because I've done both, okay? The way I created back in the day is I created destruction. Yeah. Yeah, I had to really screw myself over in 5 seconds. Yeah, I think negative thoughts about myself or whatever I was working on and all that stuff. And, you know, it just, man, I wish I didn't do that, but I did it. And guess what? Like, I would think about a situation or a circumstance or a meeting, and I would think about it kind of like, oh, God, I don't know. I was very fearful and kind of negative, and it would turn out that way. And it's funny, like, when I started changing my mindset, and I worked really hard, and it's one of the things that I work with all my clients, is how to identify that negative broken record. How to identify it, how to hear it, okay? How to clear it. That's a big one. How to clear it. How to have tabula rasa where you don't have any thought. And then how to add after that affirmations, because it changes everything. And the reason why I can talk about this is because I've done it. I mean, I created the technique for it. I don't hear anybody else talking about it. This is real. I had to do it because the negative thoughts that were in my mind were negative. They were getting me nowhere. They were putting me down. They were holding me back. They were contributing to anger, resentment, fear, lots of fear, False information appearing real based on my thoughts, right? My negative thoughts would make me feel that, you know, somebody was out to get me, or this project's never going to work, or this is never going to get off the ground, or whatever it is in between. Yeah. And it was plaguing my mind. And when I finally was able to clear out those thoughts and work to have that clear thought, that just being very mindful in the moment at that time, it changed everything. And all of a sudden, I wasn't seeing negative stuff play out in my life. Things started getting kind of neutral, kind of even Steven. And then all of a sudden, things started getting good, you know. More positive. I'd walk into a situation and I would think prior the most positive thing. I'd think highly of it, or I wouldn't think about it at all. I'd just be right in the moment. And everything worked out fine. It wasn't like before where you walk into a room and you're really fearful and you don't know if anybody's going to talk to you, and you end up standing by the wall and nobody talks to you because you know what? You're already thinking nobody's going to talk to me anyway. I don't even know why I'm here. And that's a simple example, okay? That's a simple example, but oftentimes, the more we think about things, it's just the way it is, we create it. And it's like, you know, dreams and affirmations. When you create things in your mind that you really want, you got to really focus on it, you got to see it, you got to feel it. And it's interesting how our brains seem to, I don't know, they seem to believe the negative stuff over the positive, which is weird. I can say a negative thing one time to somebody, and they'll remember that for the rest of their life. And so you have to really double up, triple up, quadruple up on affirmations and positive thoughts, like real positive thoughts, to outdo that. Because our brain wants to hold on to the negative side. Our brain wants to hold on to what I like to call the contaminated side, the tainted side, because you know what? It keeps us down. I mean, it really does. It keeps us down, you know. I mean, you know, when you're thinking negative of yourself, you don't want to do anything. You don't want to go out. You don't want to go anywhere. You don't want to see anybody. You don't want to hang out with anybody. You don't want to have a conversation with anybody. You don't want to do anything because you're feeling so down on yourself. Why would you want to go do anything? No, they're not going to like me anyway. I'm not going to fit in. I might as well not even bother. But when you flip that around and not lying to yourself, these affirmations are not lies. It's just, if the negative can be real, then the positive can be real. It's yin and yang. It's black and white. You can choose your destiny. You can choose your reality. And I used to not think that that existed. I thought that was all BS. There's no way. But yeah, there is. I've seen it. It's like back in the day when there were explorers and they went and explored something and they go, oh yeah, we saw it. It was amazing. It was magnificent. The mountain ranges, the waterfalls. Everybody's like, there's no way. You're so full of crap. There's no way. You're like, no, there is. I was there. Okay. Now, I don't have a picture from it. And it's the same here. I don't have a picture of it. I can't take a picture of my brain that shows like this negative thought and then this thing appearing or this positive thought. I just know because I lived it. I can't get a picture for you. Those guys back in the day when they were in the 1600s, 1400s, they couldn't get a picture for you either. And there was no cameras. And so there you go. You had to just take their word on it. So, you know, there you go. That's what we're doing right now. And the thing is that it really does work on both ways. You can be the most positive and believer and it'll happen. And you can be the negative and not believe in it and be down on yourself and that'll happen. And it's wild. And I've been on both sides of the spectrum. And I'm here to validate your thoughts do become things if you think about them long enough. So think good ones, right? Be mindful. The next life-changing technique that I want to talk about is being aware of the self-esteem issues in your life and how you're devaluing yourself. When you're aware of the self-esteem issues in your life, you begin to realize why you make choices that hurt you, why you make choices to belittle you or to devalue you, why you make choices that aren't for your highest benefit because you don't believe in yourself. You don't believe in yourself. You don't have that self-esteem. You don't believe in yourself. And that's what happens, right? Is that when we don't believe in ourselves, like let me give you an example. You've come up with an idea for a project. You've thought about it. You've written it down. You've created it. Maybe you've done some spec stuff on it. You've worked at it. And your self-esteem is pretty low. And so the first person that comes at you and looks at it goes, oh, man, that's no good. That's no good, man. That's never going to take off, man. Why are you doing that? You just need to stick to your day job. I mean, most times you're going to fold. You're going to fold. You're going to say, you know what? I don't even know why I was thinking this. This is ridiculous. I can't do this. Now think about if a second person says it too and you got low self-esteem. My God. I mean, you're going to burn the papers of the project you had, and you're going to run back to your job and pray that you got your 9-to-5 and you're being dumb. Whatever it is, whatever you're dreaming about, when we have low self-esteem, when somebody comes in and kind of, I don't know, they kind of echo our self-esteem issues by saying that can't happen, or do you think, I don't know if you're talented enough, and I don't know about that. I think this is kind of a pipe dream, and, you know, I mean, it's a really good idea, but, you know, how do you think you're going to carry this out? I mean, you don't have any experience. You don't even have, I mean, how is this going to work? And self-esteem is so critical because when you have self-esteem and you know your worth and you know your value, you know, one, hey, you might not know everything about what you're trying to do, but you have just as good enough chance as anybody else does to do that. You see what I'm saying? You don't have to tell them, hey, man, you're rude. I mean, you didn't have to say that. But in your heart, you know, hey, I don't even have to defend it because I know that I can do this. Now I just have to make sure that I want to do it. And yeah, sometimes we have to go through a lot of trials and tribulations. And the more original, more different, more out-of-the-box concept idea, whatever you're doing, takes time and effort and energy and direction and perseverance. And that perseverance must be connected to a good self-esteem, a solid self-esteem, a clear self-esteem. And I'm not talking about ego. Self-esteem and ego are two totally different things. They're two totally different things. And when I return from break, I'm going to be talking more about that and also the last life-changing technique that I want to talk about today as well. If you haven't already, checked out Spreaker, S-P-R-E-A-K-E-R, and listen to the latest podcast there and on iHeartRadio for this show and me. So stay tuned. Live Your True Life Perspectives. We'll be back in two shakes. You could be
my luck. Get in here. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Live Your True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. On today's show, I've been offering life-changing techniques to better your life, to make it more fun, more happy, and just more joy. They're really life hacks, actually. And right before the break, I was talking about being aware of your self-esteem issues and how we devalue ourselves on a daily basis. And once we're aware of our self-esteem issues, our life begins to change. You know, there were years that I didn't realize that I really had self-esteem issues. I did. But I think this is one of those things you don't really want to think about. You kind of want to ignore it. And I don't know why that is. For some reason, when it comes to self-esteem, we want to put it under the rug. We don't want to think about the stuff. We don't want to think about the stuff. And I think it goes back because it kind of goes back to our childhood. It goes back to our biggest insecurities in our life. The things that really just touch us at the core. Sometimes in a way that makes us sad, that makes us feel too delicate. We just don't like the way we feel. And so I think when we get really close to those self-esteem issues, we're really getting to the nerve of the issues and why we're not living the best, the truest life that we can. And when I started peeling back the issues in the self-esteem category and I realized that I had self-esteem issues. I realized that I'd had them for a long time, and then I began, I didn't know really exactly where they came from, but then I began to find out where they came from after lots of time of trying to figure out, okay, how did this start? And when I was born with a medical condition that nobody understood. I was sick 300 plus days out of the year, and this lasted for a large majority of my life. It wasn't until I was in my mid-20s that I was finally diagnosed correctly with a condition that 180 people in the world have, okay? And, you know, getting the handicap sticker and having the emergency surgeries and having the experimental surgeries that almost killed me on the operating table and not being the same as everybody else, yeah. Why I didn't feel like that would cause self-esteem issues is beyond me. Talk about the elephant in the room, therapist, right? I mean, come on. And when I finally grasped that and I realized it, and I took it as my own, and I began to reflect. I realized, wow, yeah, I've been judging myself negatively for a long, long time. And I've been doing it because of this major thing in my life, and I'm not better than anybody or less than anybody because I have this, but I've been judging myself as being lesser for a long time. For a good part of my life, for pretty much since I was, you know, old enough to understand that something's different. And, you know, that took a lot of work. That took a lot of crying. That took a lot of emotion. That took a lot of being really deep and true and getting to the core and getting to the nerve of it, the nerve center of the self-esteem issue. And so, in being honest with yourself and really taking ownership here, it's okay to have self-esteem issues. It's normal. But it's awesome to be able to figure out why, where it started, and it's awesome to be able to work to stop it, to change it, to turn it around, to see yourself as who you really are, amazing, phenomenal, a really awesome person that, you know, you deserve to see yourself as awesome. I'm not talking about ego. Ego has nothing to do with this. So when we hold on to our ego, we don't allow ourselves to learn about ourselves. Does that make sense? So if I'm holding on to ego all this time, I don't want to see my self-esteem issues. I don't have any self-esteem issues. There's nothing wrong with me. Ego is that deflectant. It's that thing that's kind of in the middle that keeps us away from honestly understanding ourselves, that keeps us away from being honest with ourselves, that basically takes us off target and keeps us in a state of, well, we're not getting anywhere, but we feel like we're kind of holding it up. We feel like we're in charge, okay? And when I finally realized that I had to release ego, okay, I had to release my ego, and it took a while, okay? When I finally realized that over time I'm going to work to release this ego, my life has been so much better. I can't even explain how much better it's been. You know? I mean, it's like running around in a field or being chained in a coffin. I'm going to take the field. I'm going to take it. I don't know about you, but definitely frolicking in a field is going to be my choice. And that's the thing. And when I realized that, and I realized that it took me to be honest with myself, and to be straight up, that was the way to my help. That was the way to my salvation. The last but not least life-changing technique that I want to talk about on this particular show, because I got a lot of them, is to realize that self-care and self-love are the hierarchy of our life. When we take care of ourselves, when we care about what we do, how we live, are we exercising? Are we taking care of our body? Are we eating properly? Are we spending enough time exercising? Are we spending enough time sleeping and getting the rest that we need? Are we exercising our brain constantly? Are we doing that? Are we exercising our bodies? Are we surrounding ourselves with nourishing relationships? And are we nourishing the relationship with ourselves? Okay? I'm here to tell you one thing. You come in this world on your own and you leave on your own, and this is the biggest thing you take out of the show. This is huge. That means that the relationship with yourself has to be really important. Even if you're a twin, you're born at the same time. I think you've probably heard this. If you listen to my show long enough, you know that I talk about this. Even if you're a twin, you're born at different times, and you don't die at the same time. And think about that. That means that the relationship that we have with this person, our body, the soul, everything that we have coming into this world is the most important. The way we understand ourselves, the way we take time to better ourselves, the ways that we take time to make our lives better, to understand our minds, to clean out the negative thoughts, to be aware of the self-esteem issues, to clean those up, to work to get rid of those self-esteem issues, and to ultimately unconditionally love ourselves is why we're here. And when I figured out the unconditional love thing and I worked at it, I realized that in order to get there, I had to accept the things that I thought weren't good enough. I had to accept the things about me that I thought weren't good enough. I didn't just accept them, I had to love them. And it's interesting how when you really truly love every part of yourself, you're awesome. I mean, sure, there might be people that are better looking or prettier. They have a better voice and they can sing better, whatever it is. But man, you're all that. And it's not about comparing yourself to others, because you're an individual soul, an individual being that has these amazing qualities. And when you love yourself unconditionally, you end up loving other people unconditionally, and your life becomes very valuable, very rare on this planet, and very awesome. And by the way, if you haven't gone and checked out the YouTube channel recently, you got to. Putting up new videos every week. Content that can make your life easier, can help you identify those cycles in your life, can help you to stop the self-sabotaging behavior, but better yet, can help you realize how valuable you truly are. Get on the internet, search YouTube. Once you get to YouTube, put in Ashley Burgess in the search bar at the top, and you'll find the Ashley Burgess YouTube channel. Check out the content. I want to hear your perspectives on it. And don't forget to subscribe and to share with those that you love, that you want to help also live a joyous and happy life. I'll be back next week with more information to make your life better. Stay tuned, because Live Your True Life Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, I'll be back in three shakes.